You are listening to the Women's Health Matters podcast with me, midwife Monica Wallace, here to bring you the knowledge, education, and inspiration that you need to find your voice in your healthcare and everyday life. We're having real, authentic conversations that matter on women's health and issues affecting women every single day. We're really getting down to that nitty-gritty and cutting through all the noise. Remember, this podcast is not intended to replace the advice of your healthcare provider. And now here's our podcast. Welcome, welcome, my friends. This is Midwife Moni, and you're listening to the Women's Health Matters podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. Let me ask you a question. Has it been long enough? Was that a long enough break? It's been 3 years since the last time I posted an episode, and I'm going to tell you why. Sometimes you just don't know. You just don't know what life is going to throw at you. And it reminds me of a quote that I used to love, and I actually still love. I remember seeing it in a movie one time. And later I found out that it was actually a John Lennon quote, which I'm surprised I didn't know because I love the Beatles. I love music in general. I'm an avid music lover. I'm a piano player. I love to sing, although my singing voice has changed a lot as I've grown older. I'm not really sure why that's happened, and I'm unhappy about it, but I would love to. It's been a dream of mine for years now to take singing lessons. Not that I don't know how to sing, because I used to know how to sing very well, but I guess I just got out of practice. And sometimes that happens when we stop doing things and we just get out of practice. Like, I haven't been practicing yoga a whole lot lately. And I did yoga again for the first time in several months on January 1st, 2024, on New Year's Day, because I love to do things on New Year's Day that I would love to do for the rest of the year, kind of just setting that intention, you know? And so I did that. I went outside and I grounded myself. And grounding is very important, by the way. And if you don't do this, you should do this because, first of all, let me just tell you what grounding is. So you've got a picture in your mind. When you're grounding, you actually go outside in nature. Yes, outside. Take your shoes off, put your feet in the grass or in the sand at the beach or wherever you may be outside, and connect yourself with the earth. And there's actually been studies done on this showing that you can actually get some minerals, and not only that, but you actually absorb that energy from the earth. And it can be very invigorating and very energizing, but not just that, it can literally ground you, because sometimes our heads are so far up in the sky, especially these days with social media, and we're watching things and we're, you know, seeing things on there that actually aren't real. And we're listening to news and we're listening to the media and people just kind of spewing things that may or may not be true. So, by the way, if you're watching social media or you're watching mainstream media or anything like that, make sure that you go back and do your research and make sure that what you are hearing or learning from these people on social media is accurate, because think about it. People can actually just say whatever they want. They could say anything and claim it to be true. And I guess people are just a lot more gullible these days, but they take it and they run. And that's how so much misinformation is spread all of the time. And that's really big in my field as a midwife. By the way, I'm a midwife. I'm also a doula. I had been a doula for 18 years before I became a midwife. Midwife for 8 years now. Childbirth educator, women's health mentor, and so in my field, misinformation is very prevalent because, listen, there's a lot of women in the world, and there are a lot of people getting pregnant, and there's a lot of babies being born every day. And labor and birth can be a really scary thing. And even a lot of women's health conditions and complications can be really scary things, because it can mess with our bodies and our minds tremendously if it is not, if it doesn't happen without trauma. You know what I mean? And so anyway, misinformation is so prevalent these days in the women's health field, and if in the pregnancy and birth field, in the field of infertility, because people do, and I hate to say this, but they do it. You know they do. People prey on women, and people prey on women's health topics and pregnancy topics and infertility, namely, as well, because they know that women are out there looking for answers. They are looking for information. They want to know what is wrong with their bodies, or they want to know what labor is going to be like, and they want to know what giving birth is going to be like, because, you know, stories have been passed down over the ages amongst women and amongst mothers and sisters and best friends about labor and birth. And sometimes they're positive stories, but sometimes they're really freaking scary stories and really negative stories, and they suck. And so women are constantly searching for this information, right? And so there are people on these social media platforms who just want to make a view and just want to make a buck. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to get views and wanting to make money on social media. That's awesome. That's great. I have been lucky to be able to do that myself as well, and supplement my income in that way, because midwifery doesn't pay crap. But regardless... That's a story for a whole nother day. But regardless, there are people on there who are just praying, and they want to make that money. They want to get those views. And so they say things that they think is going to be attention grabbing, because our attention spans these days also suck. And this whole episode isn't going to be about things that suck, I promise. You know, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to grab your attention by saying things that are attention grabbing. And sometimes I go on social media, on TikTok or whatever, and I post my video, and the first few seconds are not that attention grabbing. And so people just scroll on by, and it doesn't get a lot of business. It doesn't get a lot of views, and which is fine, but it's also not fine, because I'm making these videos not only to get views and make money, but also the primary reason why I do it, which is why I think most practitioners and most people who are doing education on these platforms, should be their main reason, is to educate, to get the information out there. I am so, and I promise I'll get back to my original point, but I am so freaking sick and tired of people, giving out this misinformation. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing this same, not sick and tired, but it's heart-wrenching hearing people or seeing people in my comments saying the same things over and over, how they're so scared about this particular thing happening, or how this happened to them with whatever condition they have, or during pregnancy or during birth or postpartum. And it's over and over the same thing over and over. So I'm doing this. I'm giving this education on these platforms because I want people to know the truth and the evidence. I'm giving out evidence-based information. And that's the difference between what I'm doing and what some other doctors are doing on these platforms or other midwives, and the difference between that and what some other people are doing who maybe are not practitioners. And one really big thing that stands out to me is, and because I saw something on another OB, a GYN's TikTok page the other day, and she had posted something about a birth keeper. Now, I don't know if you've heard of birth keepers, but it's this pretty new thing that people have started doing. And from what I gather, they are people who are sort of pretending to be midwives, but they don't really want to be midwives because they don't really like midwives and how they practice, because they claim that midwives are too medical, which, yeah, sure, there might be midwives who are more Western medicine based, but in general, midwives are more traditional, natural health minded. In general. Anyway, so these birth keepers are not trained healthcare practitioners. They don't have licenses. They don't have, you know, professional certifications. And they're coming on and they're saying crazy things. Like one said something the other day on Instagram, and she said, "Preeclampsia is not real. It's not a real thing. And women should not be induced for high blood pressure during pregnancy." Now, every person's situation is different. Every situation varies. And yeah, maybe some people, their high blood pressure can be managed with medication or with natural remedies. But in some situations, preeclampsia is not, it's not just high blood pressure. It's a full-blown condition. And it can be very dangerous. It can turn into eclampsia, which can turn into seizures, which can be life-threatening for the mother and the baby. Anyway, so this person is on there literally saying preeclampsia doesn't exist. And I'm just like, what do we do with all this misinformation? Because people are believing these things. And it's scary, you guys. It's scary. All right. That was my first rant. By the way, if you're listening on the podcast, then welcome. You're only hearing me. But if you are watching the video, because now I am doing video podcasts, which will be available to subscribers only. So if you would like to subscribe to the podcast, then the video will be available. And I'll also be posting some bloopers and like outtake reels and silly things like that for subscribers too. I'm just getting this started. Y'all know I haven't been around for 3 years. So I'm just getting back into it. So I haven't figured up all of the subscription stuff yet, but I'm on my way to doing that. But just so you know, if you want to watch me in my PJs, yes, I'm in my PJs tonight. And the reason why is because, all right, so another midwife who's a very good friend of mine and I, we actually went to school together. So we've known each other for about 10, 11 years. We are also starting a podcast, and it's called Midwife Crisis. Pretty fitting, right? Because we are pretty midlife and we are having a crisis as midwives. And we are going to explain that to you in our podcast, why we're having a midlife crisis, but why it can also be, why it can also represent you as the listener, and relate to you. Anyway, so I'm in my PJs because I was looking at this podcast that we recorded the other night, and I was trying to edit it, and just some things just popped into my head, and I just really wanted to talk about them. And I really felt bad that I had such a great audience of listeners going on here. And I feel like I kind of abandoned y'all, and I'm so sorry about that. I really am. I thought about getting back to the podcast every single day for a long time. And so this is what happened. All right. Are you still here? Here's the story. Not really a story. It's just really what happened in the last 3 years. Anyway, so you never know what life's going to throw out. All right. It's 1 o'clock in the morning, by the way. So if I mess up, that's why. In my PJs. And, so this quote, that's right, back to the quote, John Lennon quote, and I later found out also, after I found out that it was John Lennon, was that it wasn't originally John Lennon. It was published in a Reader's Digest edition in like the 1950s. And a lot of you listening might not even know what Reader's Digest is, But the Reader's Digest, is it still out? Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, do they still do Reader's Digest? Maybe they do. Maybe it's just online. I have no idea. Either way, it was printed in the Reader's Digest in the 1950s. And the quote is, "Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans." Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. Like, how accurate is that, y'all? Somehow I picked up y'all. I don't know when that happened. I'm not a y'all person. I'm not really considered Southern. I'm in Florida. But Florida is not really considered Southern, even though we're the most Southern. So it doesn't really make sense to me. But we're kind of a melting pot here in Florida. Anyway, y'all. I'm trying not to say y'all too often. Or maybe some people like y'all. Right. Anyway, it's a great quote. It's a great quote, and I saw it in a movie. I don't remember what movie it was. I thought it was the movie Trainspotting, which I used to actually really like when I was a teenager. But I looked through and I couldn't find it. Anyway, it's true though. Life is what happens when you're busy making other plans, because you're planning your life and you're trying to plan for the future and you're trying to plan for all of these big, great things that you're going to do. And then life just keeps throwing you all of these other crazy things, right? And it's like, oh yeah, you thought you were going to do that? Well, here's this. Oh, really? That's what plans you had? Here's this. Oh, you think you're going to do that? Here's this. And so, I just feel like that's so accurate, and I feel like it applies to me, and I wanted to share it with you because I felt like it would apply to a lot of people. So the last time you heard from me, I had just had my endometriosis and fibroid surgery. I had fibroids removed. They were very large fibroids. I think the largest one, I'd have to go back and look now, but if you want to watch the whole story and you want to learn all about my experience, I've had endometriosis since I was 19. And so that was 26 years ago now. Ooh, aging myself here. 26 years ago when I found out I had endometriosis and I had to have surgery. I had laparoscopic surgery because I had a ruptured cyst and my ovary was ruptured, had to be cauterized, had to be all this stuff. And they found out I had endo at that time. So, you know, years down the road, blah, 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 I find out I have a very large fibroid. I mean, this thing was humongous. I think on my YouTube video, oh, that's what I was saying. If you want to go listen to the whole story, go to my YouTube. It's YouTube. I'll look it up for you. I'm telling you guys, I haven't done this in years, so I can't remember anything. But it's on my YouTube. I'll give you the YouTube channel in just a minute. And I go through the whole story. What happened? And you can follow me from a couple weeks prior to my surgery. It was an open abdominal myomectomy where they actually have to open my entire stomach up to remove the fibroids because they were so large. There were several of them. They found, I think, four of them when they went in. And the largest one was 12 centimeters. The fibroids weighed a total weight of about 10 pounds. So I was basically pregnant with fibroids. And it was rough, the surgery. But in my YouTube videos, I explain all of the things that I did to prepare for surgery, to prepare my body, my mind, and my space. And then you follow me from almost the minute I get out of surgery to 8 weeks post-op. And it was really cool that I got to do that. And I think that I helped a lot of people because I got a lot of messages from people saying that it was helpful to them, which made me feel great. Anyway, so I had that surgery 3 years ago, and that was the last episode that I did here on the Women's Health Matters podcast. And since then, things just got kind of crazy. I got very busy. I started working for a birth center for a while, and then I reopened my practice because I stopped taking patients for about 16 weeks or so. So I didn't have anybody due during that time when I had my surgery, and I didn't work. I did work online, but I didn't work physically until about 12 weeks post-op, and I started working at the birth center. And then things just got crazy. I was very tired after the surgery, and it was hard to keep up with the lifestyle that is required of a midwife. The lifestyle of being up all night and being up for 25, 30, 45 hours at a time. And it's very difficult. Midwifery is a very difficult career and lifestyle, because being a midwife is actually a lifestyle. You don't just go to work, do your job, and then come home. You don't. It's not how it works. You always worry about your patients. You're always caring for your patients. You're always on call. It doesn't matter if I have somebody due at that time. It doesn't matter, because somebody could be 22 weeks pregnant and yeah, they're not due yet, but they might go into preterm labor. They might start bleeding. They might, anything can happen. And at that moment, doesn't matter what I'm doing. I have to drop everything in my life and be with that person, send records to the hospital, you know, speak on the phone with the on-call OB. You know, it's never ending. And it's not necessarily a complaint, but it is, because it's hard for one single human being to try to keep up with all of those things by themselves. And yes, I have been a solo practitioner when I'm not working at the birth center. So yes, it's all by myself. The other problem with midwifery too is that insurance companies don't like to pay midwives. They just don't. So they like to pay about a quarter of what our actual fee is, which is difficult because we have a lot of overhead. We have an office space. We have supplies. We have malpractice that we have to pay for. That's very expensive. Licensed midwives do carry malpractice insurance. And, you know, we have to pay a backup and we have to pay assistance. And usually there's not enough left at the end of the day to pay an entire team. So we have no admin. We have no person sitting at the front desk scheduling for us. We have nobody answering phone calls or texts. We're doing that ourselves. Nobody billing for us. We're doing all the billing. And so we're doing the job of like eight different people. And when it comes to getting paid, whether it's from insurance companies or private pay, it's very difficult to get paid. And when we do get paid, most of what we get paid goes toward all of that overhead. And there's very little left for the time that we put in. And we put in like 28 hours a day. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding, y'all. So it got really difficult. I feel like the surgery changed me a lot right after I had surgery too. Not right after. I had surgery in August, and then I was post-op until like October, and then I got COVID in January. And by the way, I hope everyone is doing well after all of that craziness. Because I haven't spoken to you since then, but I got COVID in January. And then I think from the COVID, my hair started falling out. My hair has been thinning like crazy. And I thought maybe perimenopause and who knows, there's a lot of things going on in my body right now. And I think now that the fibroid has returned, lucky me. When she went in there was a fibroid, a very, very tiny one. It was less than a centimeter that she didn't remove because it was on a place in my uterus where when I had gone to the surgeon, I asked her to preserve the integrity of my uterus because I had hoped to get pregnant again. If you haven't listened to my previous episodes, you should go listen to them. And by the way, the links and the Instagram and all of that that I gave in my previous episodes may not be current anymore because I did do a little bit of rebranding and I updated all of my usernames. So I'm going to give them out to you in just a second here. So I had asked her to preserve the integrity of my uterus. I had been pregnant once before, and that did not work out well. And so I was hoping that removing the fibroids and removing the endometriosis was going to be the key and was going to be the answer to me finally having the family of my dreams. back to the life happens while you're busy making other plans, right? I remember sitting in New York at my aunt and uncle's kitchen table, and I had a cousin. I still have a cousin who is close to me in age. And we were sitting there, and I think we were talking about like having kids, and I was always talking about having kids. I played house all the time when I was a kid. I had all my babies set up in the chairs, and I was the teacher. I would teach them, and you know, it was a whole thing. And so I was sitting at the kitchen table, my aunt and uncle's house in New York, and I was writing all the names of all the kids that I was going to have. I was going to have 10. I was going to have 10 children. I loved children, and I always wanted to be a mother. Always. That was my dream. I was going to be mommy. And I had all the names picked out. And guess what? I never had any kids. I never had any kids. That's a laugh, but it should be a cry. And so, yeah, it's shocking, right, that I was called to be a midwife, actually provide care for women's uteri when mine doesn't actually work properly. It's a very, very ironic thing, don't you think? All right. So anyway, so I had asked her to preserve the integrity of my uterus in hopes that I'd get pregnant again and would be able to have a vaginal birth. Because when you have a myomectomy, a lot of the times you do have to have a cesarean if you're going to give birth after that, but not always. It depends on where the fibroids are located, what kind of sutures your surgeon used to close the uterus up. There's a whole bunch of different things that go into it. So anyway, I didn't get pregnant again after that. I haven't spoken to you since. I didn't get pregnant. And the funny thing is that I've had so much testing done to find out what the problem is and why I can't get pregnant. And there's no real answer. It's unexplained infertility. And I freaking hate that word. I hate that term. Unexplained infertility. Like, come on. We can't figure out what it is. But I don't know. I just feel like sometimes doctors just don't do the right workups and don't do that. And trust me, if I had the money to do it all, I would have. I would have said, look, this is what we need to do. We need to test my progesterone, and we need to test my testosterone, and we need to test my estrogen, and we need to test on these days, on day 7 and day 21 of my cycle. And then we need to go in. And I mean, I know what to do. I just didn't have the money to do it. And so let's go back to the financial struggles of a midwife. Anyway, so all of these things happened. Life has been funny in the last few years because of that. The surgery changed me. And I truly believe that anesthesia changes you, because when I had my laparoscopy when I was 19, I remember I couldn't go on scary rides anymore. I used to love carnival rides and like theme park rides and roller coasters and stuff. And for a while, I couldn't go on them. And I directly attribute it to my surgery and to the anesthesia. And I think there's actually something that happens when you have anesthesia, which does actually make your hair fall out. And I think that that has something to do with why my hair is thinning also. And I also think it has to do with the COVID, because I had COVID twice in the last few years. So with that being said, also, by the way, there's another great thing that you can do if you're having this issue with your hair falling out. Coconut oil works really well on your scalp. Massaging your scalp with coconut oil, as well as potash. And this is something that I got from my grandfather, who came over here from Italy in 1917. And he used potash on his hair, and he swore by it, and his hair grew back. And so I tried it, and it's working. And so another thing that I want to try, I haven't tried yet, but my friend told me about it, is to make a flaxseed gel. So you take flax seeds and you pour boiling water over them, mix them a few times, it turns into this gel, and you put the gel on your hair, and that's supposed to help with hair growth as well. FYI, if you're looking for hair growth tips. Anyway, so life did happen while I was making other plans. I was making plans to do the podcast and do, and just so many things happen. And I can assure you that I am here. I am back. And I just wanted to tell you that little story. I wanted to throw that little tidbit out at you about life. And really, I find myself a lot of the time living in the future or living in the past. And I feel like a lot of us do this. But it's important to be here in the present moment so that life isn't just happening to you. Life is happening with you. You know what I mean? And I made a lot of resolutions for 2024. Not really resolutions, but more of intentions. Like, these are the things that I am putting out into the universe that I am intending to do. And that's why I did the things that I really wanted to do for the rest of the year on New Year's Day, so that I could keep those intentions in mind. And so with that being said, I just wanted to pop on here and tell you I'm back. And I want you to be wary of misinformation on social media, in the media, wherever you consume information. Please be aware. Don't just take everything anybody says as scripture. Take it, ingest it, look it up, research it on good sources, good notable research sources. And make sure that what they're saying is true and accurate before you actually start spreading that around to everybody else, because that's how we get all of this misinformation all over the place. You don't even know what's real anymore, right? When you're listening to these things, you're like, is that true? Did that really happen? Is that, like, now I'm starting to question the history books and stuff. I'm like, wait, did all this stuff really happen, or did people just make this stuff up and write it down? Anyway, so I want you to stick around. This season is going to be amazing. We're going to talk about all things. And listen, if you've never heard this podcast before, we are talking authentic, real, normally taboo topics and things that people don't normally talk about when it comes to women's health and women's lives and perspectives. We talk about all the stuff that nobody else wants to talk about because it's taboo. I'm using air quotes if you're not watching, by the way. And if you are watching, please disregard the whole background of squishmallows and yarn. So, in the last 3 years, I took up crochet. I taught myself how to crochet. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I started collecting squishmallows. I don't even remember how this happened. I think my friend just started it. I thought they were so freaking cute and so adorable. But then I had a way too big of a collection. Yes, I'm a kid. I'm a kid at heart. I don't have my own kids. What do you want from me? And my collection got way too huge. And so I took a bunch of them and I put them in my office. And now I want to sell them. But I have not gotten around to doing that yet. I have so many projects and so many things that I have going on right now. So I was also doing overnights as a night nurse, taking care of newborns. I did that for a really long time. I mean, I've been doing that for 20 years, but I did that. So I quit attending births for a while and I started doing night nursing overnight for newborns for a long time, quite some time while I was on this long break. And I enjoy that work, but it started to get difficult for me as a woman without children, as a middle-aged woman without children. And we'll go into all of that another time, but it was hard. It got hard. It wasn't as hard when I was young. I think because I still like had this hope that, or this intention that, like, hey, I'm going to have kids. Like, this isn't over yet. You know, it's going to happen for me. And then it didn't. And it hasn't. Now I'm old. No, I'm not old. I'm not that old, but I'm older. I'm old enough. And so it started to really like hit home and hit hard for me in the last year or two. And it was hard. It was freaking hard. And so I've been in this kind of depression. Not kind of. It's just real, real depression. And I'm not going to lie. Because we all do it. It happens to all of us. And it's been hard. And I wasn't knowledgeable enough to know how to deal with like this real you know, biological clock ticking thing that the clock is ticking, but the time's out. You know what I mean? And so I just didn't know how to manage that. And so I stopped attending births for a while, and I stopped doing night nursing overnight because that was really taking a toll on me mentally. And I've been working really hard on trying to get myself back and coming to terms with this new life that I have, coming to terms with the fact that I do have a lot of babies. I am a mother to many, not just babies, but other women that I care for. And that's important to me. And so that's something that I've been working on within myself. And these past few years, honestly, I've had a hard time actually finding myself again, you know, figuring out who I am without the future that I had planned. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that. I'm sure many of you can relate to, because we all have plans, but then life happened to us. And sometimes we lose ourselves as we grow older and we age, and we don't age gracefully because of it. And we start to get confused and we're like, wait a minute, who am I now? I was supposed to be this person, but that person didn't happen. So who's this person? Now I have to find this person. I have to find myself again. And it's a lot of work, and it's mentally draining, and it's energy draining. And so it's very important that we make sure that we conserve our energy as much as possible. And I'm not saying do not help others. I'm not saying don't be empathetic. Don't be sympathetic. I'm not saying that at all. We should be very helpful towards each other. What I'm saying is don't pour from an empty cup. Don't have this super dry cup with not even a drop on the bottom anymore, and you're trying to turn it upside down and empty it into somebody else's, and nothing's literally coming out, and you're still trying to pour it into that other person's cup. Because we're not going to make it that way. We're not going to make it. You can't do that, especially as you're getting older. And if you're an older woman, you're in your 30s or your 40s, I know that you're trying to do that, and you were able to do it. Oops, sorry, I just hit my microphone. You were able to do it in your 20s because you had all that energy. Your cup was full. Your cup was overflowing. You know, the cup was just like all over the place. You're like, man, this cup is beautiful. But the cup, you've been pouring from it for years and decades now. And that, you got to refill it. You're thirsty. I'm thirsty. We're all thirsty. So my point is, you know, it takes a lot to try and find that person you hadn't planned on being. It takes a lot of work. And I want you to know that if you're working on that too, you're not alone. You're not. And it's not just, it doesn't just have to do with, you know, making plans and that the future not turning into what you thought it was going to be. But now we're talking about, we've got hormonal fluctuations and our cycles, and, you know, the estrogen is up and the progesterone is down and the testosterone is rising. And so these things affect our emotions and our mental state as well. And it's important that we pay attention to that too, that we are nurturing ourselves with food that's nutritious, with exercise, with fluids, with time to ourselves to take care of ourselves in whatever way that we need to do that. That's all very, very important. So I want you to remember that. I went through all of that for the last 3 years, and that's why I wasn't here with you. And I'm so sorry that I wasn't, but I am excited about this new season. I am very excited for the topics that we're going to cover. And by the way, once again, wow, I keep hitting my mic. I apologize for that. I'm a real hand talker. I'm Italian, so hitting my mic over and over. Once again, if you want to watch the videos, go ahead and subscribe through the podcast and you can watch the videos and we'll do bloopers and we'll do some outtake reels and stuff like that. It'll be a lot of fun. Listen, I want you to go follow me on TikTok. My TikTok generally revolves more around pregnancy, birth, and postpartum, but I also post some really cute, funny skits and things that aren't really education-wise. They're just fun and entertaining. And if you'd like, I would love it if you would come join me there. TikTok.com/@midwifemoni, M-O-N-I, midwife Moni. You can also find me on Instagram. All right, that's enough. No more Italian hand talking. No more. I'm going to sit on my hands. Yep, I swear I'm sitting on my hands because I keep hitting this mic. Instagram, I am the midwife Moni. T-H-E, midwife Moni. And on YouTube, I am also midwife Moni, I'm pretty sure. Yes, I am midwife Moni, also on YouTube. If you want to go listen or watch my videos about my surgery, about the endometriosis, about fibroids. If you want to know more about endometriosis and fibroids, go back and listen to the previous episodes in season one. Remember, scratch all of the social media that I mentioned on season one because I rebranded and redid a lot of that stuff. So thank you so much for being here. I am so excited to see you all in season two. Thank you so much for being patient. I love those of you that stuck around. If you have any questions for me, feel free to DM me, I believe on Instagram, because the TikTok DMs, I get flooded, and I cannot keep up with them. I absolutely 100% cannot. But if you have a question, you need to DM me, or you can go to my website. It's beacons.ai/midwifemoni, and you can send me an email through there, or you could sign up for my mailing list on Beacons right there. If you go to Instagram, you'll see that website. All right, y'all, yeehaw. I don't know. For some reason, I related to yeehaw, like cowboys. I don't know why, but I use it anyway. I like it. It's short. It's sweet. It's cute. I love y'all. Come back and see me soon. Season two. Thank you so much for sticking around, listening to my stories, to my babbling and my ranting, but also some very good tips and some great, valuable women's health information. All right. Take care. We'll see you in the next episode next week. Have a good night.